right, praise God. Well, let's get on to today's sermon. I'm starting a new series. It's called The Revelation of the Kingdom, The Revelation of the Kingdom. Now, most of you know this, if you've been around me any length of time, that I've been called to teach the Word of God in power, with authority, to bring people out of the struggles that they have been in, mostly caused by religious bondage. I like to kick over religious cows. And, you know, the religious bondage that they've been in, Satan has used to keep them in their struggles through this lack of knowledge, and he uses their lack of knowledge to do this. And these are people that love God. Don't get me wrong. These are born-again people that love God. And, you know, most Christians, if you talk to them, they cannot verify the doctrines that they believe from Scripture. They can't do it. And that's one of the reasons we have our Bible college, so that you can go to Bible college, find out really what you believe and how you can prove it from Scripture. Say, look, this is so that if your relatives confront you, a friend confronts you, you can go, wait a minute, just going to have a look at what the Scripture says. And because Christians can't verify it, they become deceived. And here's the tragedy. They don't know it. They don't know that they're deceived. And you'll hear people say things like, well, you know, I just don't believe in the tongue stuff. We've had beautiful families come to this church, and they hear somebody speaking in tongues or something going on, and then they're gone. And when you reach out to them, well, you know, we've gone to another church, a confused church, because we don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, you guys got it. Was I just facing you and that's why you got it? Okay, so then others will say, you know, well, healing is not for today. Or you guys preach prosperity. You're a prosperity cult, prosperity gospel. And these same people pray and ask God to help them pay their bills. Excuse me. That's all we're teaching, is that God's going to help you pay the bills and then some. Amen? So, I mean, to just tell you a story, on one occasion, we had a family in our church, and I was praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit, which I love to do. And the wife got up, and I prayed for her, and she received the Holy Spirit. She was so excited. Her husband didn't get up, didn't want to be prayed for. They went home. She got on the phone, phoned her friends. She was bubbling over so much, she was talking in tongues on the phone. Listen, what happened to me in church? And so her friends came to visit with her, and they had a little prayer meeting and a Bible study, and she was talking in tongues. The next thing, some of her friends were talking in tongues. They'd be full of the Holy Ghost. So excited. Well, about 2 months later, I got a call from the husband and said, I'd like to come and talk to you about the tongue stuff. I thought, great. He's finally, you know, come around. So he said, I don't believe in the tongue stuff. I said, okay. Sit down. Have you got your Bible? Bring your Bible. Sit down. Open your Bible. I spent the next hour. I had my Bible school notes next to me. And I condensed that into 1 hour with him. I mean, those pages were almost alight as he was turning around. Read. So when I finished this 1 hour presentation of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I said, now would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? He said, no, we've decided to leave the church. I go, well, what am, that very week, his wife stopped speaking in tongues. And as far as I know, she never did again. What am I telling you? I'm telling you the story because you need to know why you believe things, and you can show from the Scripture why you believe it. And you'll see how this is going to fit into my sermon or my series that I'm going to be starting today. So I want to give you a new perspective, a new understanding of why Jesus came to the earth, what was God's plan and purpose with the earth, and how we are supposed to fit into this plan and purpose of God. So I'm going to ask you, please, to try and listen as open-minded as you can and with an open heart. All right? And then do your best to follow me throughout the entire series because it's going to revolutionize your life. Trust me. All right. So here's the first thing I want you to write down. The Bible is about a king and his kingdom. The Bible is about a king and his kingdom. Kingdom means king's domain. And domain means the territory where a king reigns as supreme authority. We sang it in our songs today. Jesus, King. Did we see that? King. Christ our King. We call him the King of Kings. But many of us only think of it in religious terms. We just think it's a nice term to use for him. We don't actually think of him as a king with a domain and authority and sovereign power as a king. We don't think like that. And I'm hoping that things will change. Do you remember the Magi, when they came looking, following the star? They said that they were looking for him who was born king of the Jews. They didn't come looking for the Messiah. When Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" What did he say? "I am, as you say." He agreed, "I am the king of the Jews." So, the revelation of the kingdom of God that you're going to receive will revolutionize your understanding and perception of who Jesus is, what his mission was to earth, what God's plan is for the earth, what his purpose, original purpose was, and again, who we are and how we fit into this plan. You know, for centuries, the church has taught extracts from the gospel. All true. Well, mostly, unless they're the confused church. But they have taught extracts from the scriptures. But they have failed to teach the basic, fundamental, central truth that Jesus taught. Wow. And to me, it's amazing that this is, in fact, what's been going on. Now, I'm going to say something really bold here. I believe that this may be the most important series that I've ever taught. Now, I like to say that about different series. I've said that before. What makes this series so important? What makes it so important? The timing. Everybody say timing. Okay, this is what makes it so important. Because there has never been a more crucial time on the face of the earth, and in particular here in America, for this teaching to be made known, for this message to be preached. What I want to do is I want to read you a scripture found in Matthew 24, 12. Jesus is speaking, and listen to what he says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's the reason I'm preaching it, because I believe the end is at hand. Now, when we read that scripture, this is what our religious head does. And this message of the gospel will be preached in the whole world. Did you notice the difference? Only Cindy. Okay. So let me repeat myself. When we read that scripture, this is how we read it. And the message of the gospel, which is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, will be preached for salvation throughout the whole world, and then the end will come. And that's not what Jesus said. He said the message of the kingdom will be preached. And then the end will come. Now, if you understand the message of the kingdom, I guarantee you it's going to change the way that you relate to the Bible, the way that you read the Bible, how you relate to Jesus and to God, and the entire message of the gospel. Do you know there's 158 references in the New Testament to kingdom? That's a lot of references. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You've got 158 references. You better pay attention. Something is being said. All right. So what are we going to do? I'm going to fast forward to the grand finale, the end of all things. Are you ready? And we go back to the book of Daniel. In Bible college, in eschatology, we study the book of Daniel. It is one of the most accurate books in the whole Bible concerning the end times and also Jesus' first coming when he was crucified. So let's begin reading in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, on the clouds of heaven came one like a son of man. Who is that? There's got to be more than three people here. Who is that? Jesus. Son of man is who? Jesus. And he came to the Ancient of Days. Would you turn me up? He came to God. He came to God and was presented before him. Verse 14. And there was given him, the Messiah, was given him dominion. That's authority and rulership and glory and kingdom. And all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is as everlasting dominion, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. Please notice the word kingdom, dominion, kingdom. He was given what? A kingdom. Now, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High, not talking about Jesus, right? Shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom. And you read it this way, and we will get to go in. Because Jesus got the kingdom. Woohoo! We made it. We made it. Everybody say hallelujah, hallelujah. We made it. That's not what it says. I'm going to prove to you that's not what it says. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 21. And as I looked, the horn, that's the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, for those who are studying eschatology, made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Again, we read, yay, we got to go in to possess the kingdom. It's not what it's saying. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Write this down if you're making notes. The kingdom is given to the saints and the dominion. The kingdom of God is our inheritance. The kingdom is given to the saints. You need to change the way you think. Because all you're thinking is, I made it to heaven. I got born again. I made it to heaven. And I'm in the kingdom. That's it. That's what you're thinking. But God's original plan and purpose was to establish the kingdom of God on earth as an extension of heaven. Write this down if you're making notes. Extend and establish his kingdom on earth. Extend and establish his kingdom on earth. It has never been God's plan to take us to heaven. I'm just going to wait a little bit because I know a lot of you just tilted. Let's start this game again. Most of you can't even remember those things because you play your games like this now. It has never been God's plan to take us to heaven. Most Christians think in religious terms about being saved and making it to heaven. That's all they think about. Got to get this person saved. Pray the quick prayer. Got to get saved. Got to get saved. Let's make it to heaven. And that has never been God's plan. Never. Are you out there? You've gone home. Blessed are you who have ears to hear and who are paying attention. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. According to Philippians 3:20, we are citizens in heaven. Now, what I have to say next is so important that I wrote it verbatim down for you to read it with me. Are you ready? Okay, so listen carefully. Christianity is not a religion, but a citizenship of a kingdom in which we rule as kings and priests after turning away from serving Satan in his kingdom. The devil has made Christianity into a religion to deny the power of the kingdom. And most Christians fall for it hook, line, and sinker. In fact, people even will say to you, I'm not religious. Because the world sees Christianity as a religion. Let me continue reading. Being born again through the blood and the cross of Jesus is the way into the kingdom. But, if we say but, then it is required that we adopt the customs and culture of the kingdom of God, or we will be removed and have no inheritance in it. One reference, Ephesians 5:5, there are many references. I didn't want to get into that. I don't want to bring a downer on you. I'm trying to, first of all, build the understanding of this. And I want to tell you right now, I spent 4 hours at Bible college on this one topic. And it shocks most people. Because most people have this idea, if I say a little prayer, this Jesus saved me, that's fine, I'm on my way to heaven, and I can live like I want to live, and nothing else is in, I've got a ticket to go, and here I'm good to go. And that's a lie from the devil. That's a religious lie. Okay? You see, being born again is the beginning of the relationship that we have with the King. It is not the end game. People, it has been preached that born again is all it takes, as if it is the beginning and the end of everything. It is not the end. It is the beginning. Say, being born again is the beginning of my relationship with the King. So let me repeat. God's original plan was to establish his kingdom on earth as an extension of heaven. In fact, Jesus told his disciples to pray that way when they asked him, teach us to pray. And the prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6. Most people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It was the apostles' prayer. They said, teach us to pray. And then what did he turn around and say? Well, this is the prayer that I pray. You can pray like me. No, he said, pray this way. He gave them an instruction how to pray. He said, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed, told him to pray that his kingdom would come to the earth. Are you still tracking with me? You okay? So, God never wanted to bring the earth to heaven. He wanted to bring heaven to the earth. We sang it in our song today. We sing, and you didn't want heaven alone, so you came down to earth. And we go, oh, that's so nice. Look at that. It even rhymes, you know. We sing it from a religious perspective. But it's the truth. He brought heaven to earth. You see, earth was to be a colony of the heavenly kingdom, which was to be administered by the godlike creation called mankind. This was the territory. Now, we grew up in a colony in South Africa, a colony of Great Britain. There are many colonies around the world, and when Great Britain was trying to establish its dominance throughout the entire world, they would conquer a nation and then colonize it. The French did the same, the Spanish did the same, you know, the Portuguese did the same. Wherever you go, you'll find islands, you know, who speak Portuguese or, Spanish. You know, the Spanish, how come you guys are speaking Spanish? And then you go to Africa, darkest deep Africa, and they speak French. Because they were colonized by an imperial authority. So, when Britain takes over a nation and it colonizes the nation, they start to speak English. They start to drive on the left-hand side of the road. They eat their food with a knife and fork. They drink tea. Right? They have the British legal system. In fact, they used pounds and pennies. They used the currency of England. They even spoke funny, right? But that happened to every single nation that was colonized by any other powerful nation. So, the idea of colonization was to influence the culture of that nation to duplicate the monarchy from where they came. So the monarchy and authority there changed this culture so that it was a mini-me. Are you still following me? Okay, so how did England do this? How did these nations do it? Once they had conquered the nation, they then sent a governor. The governor had a governor's mansion. It had to be somebody from the monarchy. It couldn't be a local yokel, because this governor had to teach them the ways and the customs of the imperial monarchy from where they came. So the governor then set up the rules, the regulations, the legal system, whatever was necessary to convert that nation so that they began to become Englishmen, to think like Englishmen or Frenchmen or Spanish. And so when the French conquered, everybody drank wine and ate cheese. Right? This is what they did. So when in South Africa, we even sang the national anthem we sang God Bless the Queen, because the Queen was in charge at that time. So they sing the national anthems of the monarchy of the place that they're from. See, England supplied the needs of South Africa when they were short. The islands, Haiti, places like that, where the monarchy took over and colonized it, they provided needs. But they extracted taxes. And they had a right to the wealth. and the people belonged to the monarchy. Until that nation declared independence, or they were taken over forcibly by another foreign nation and king. Both of those usually resulted in war. We're living in America. 4th of July, I was watching documentaries all the time. I know more about America now than I've ever known. But it was wonderful to watch the development of this nation. And George Washington, everything else, got to see him before they pulled the statue down. It was awesome. So, there would be a war. And, of course, when this happened, they declared independence, they'd taken over. Well, you know, man was placed on earth to colonize the earth. There was the express purpose. Have dominion, rule, multiply, increase. Was that not? Have dominion over everything. Rule over it. In other words, colonize the earth until it represents heaven. But man declared independence and yielded to a foreign king and gave over his authority and territory and people and legal system, and the right to contact the king was severed because they gave over to a foreign king independently. They declared independence. So the education by the Holy Spirit, the legal system, was all lost. What legal system? Righteousness, grace, justice. Also, man lost access to the wealth of heaven, access to the territory he was in, the people in the territory, and access to the power and support of the heavenly kingdom was all lost when man declared independence to this foreign king. So, Jesus came to restore the authority and the dominion of heaven on earth and place man back in charge of the colony. Listen, man did not fall from heaven when he sinned. He fell from his place of dominion. He fell from his place of rulership. He fell from his place where he had connection to the heavenly authority, to that monarchy of heaven. He fell, that relationship was severed. Jesus' very first message, Matthew 4:17, from this time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, repent, your Messiah is here. He didn't say, repent, you must be saved. He said, repent, because the kingdom is at hand. He didn't say the kingdom had come. He said the kingdom was at hand. Repent. Change the way you think, because the influence of the kingdom of heaven is about to change things here on earth. So consider, please, what heaven looked like and what Jesus was saying was coming. First of all, we have to consider there's no sickness in heaven. So he is planning there's going to be no sickness here. He was saying there's no poverty in heaven. So we're going to eliminate poverty here. How? We're going to feed the multitude. We're going to multiply fish and bread, whatever it takes. I can feed them, right? No sickness. I'm going to go around healing the sick. No death. How do I know? What? She raises the dead. Lazarus raises the dead all over the place. Why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's operating in the kingdom of God. He said there's no racism in heaven. Read the book. Read the book. There's no Jew, no Gentile. Racism, it's gone, not in heaven. He also said when they said to him, well, what's going to happen to the man who had so many wives? What's going to happen when he gets to heaven? And he said, there are no genders in heaven? No genders. Boy, that's going to be a blow to the LGBTQ group. They may not want to go. Every message Jesus preached was about the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. He told his 12 disciples when he sent them out to preach, he said, preach about the kingdom. He didn't say preach about the Messiah. Matthew 10:17, and he said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do we know the kingdom of heaven? He said, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What was he telling them to do? Demonstrate that the kingdom was here. By using the power of the kingdom, demonstrate it. Jesus said, I want you to represent the kingdom as you go. Therefore, the power of the kingdom is going to be available to you to demonstrate the kingdom. So it's obvious from this that miracles and healings and stuff is supposed to be everyday occurrence in the colony that represents the kingdom of heaven. Yes or no? Okay. If you study the parables, and we don't have time to go through all the parables, I'll just take a few of the parables. I want you to see how many times Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And there are many more than this. Follow me. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. Kingdom of heaven is like a net being let down into the lake. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out on a journey. How hard is it for the rich man to enter the kingdom? What was he saying here? Let me just explain real briefly. It's hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom because the rich man remains independent of the source of the kingdom. The rich man depends on his wealth. I'm going to throw this out, and I don't intend to hurt anybody. The non-tither does exactly that. The non-tither depends on their own ability and their own wealth rather than depending on the ability and the wealth of the monarchy to supply, the kingdom to supply. Basically, the non-tither says, I don't need your help. I can do this. Independence. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? He asked. Not who's the greatest in heaven, who's the greatest in the kingdom? He said the kingdom of heaven is like a king preparing for a wedding. The 10 virgins. The kingdom is like the man who scattered seed on the ground. In fact, if you read the Beatitudes, you'll find that they're all about kingdom and kingdom culture. Now, some of the disciples did not see the coming of the kingdom. That might surprise you. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. He said this, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Some of you will not taste death. What does that mean? When you read that, does that mean I've got 12 disciples in front of me, I've got 70 disciples in front of me, and you won't die for a long, long time till the kingdom comes? Or what does it mean? He was simply saying, Judas Iscariot is going to die without being born again. Let me read it to you again. There, I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom. The 11 will not taste death until the kingdom comes. Judas would die because he hung himself before Jesus went to the cross and rose again. He never got to see the kingdom. Does that make any sense to you now? Okay. So, why is it important to be born again? Because until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Jesus said in John 3:3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one. Everybody say no one?
No one.
No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. He didn't say no one can enter the kingdom. He said you can't see it. Let me explain to you. No unsaved person has any concept of the kingdom of God. They're oblivious to it. They have no concept of it. that cannot see it. You get born again and your eyes are opened to the kingdom. You see, Jesus is the King of Kings, is he not? And he was sent on a mission to the earth. Once the mission was complete, he was recalled back by the monarchy. Heaven did not leave its king on the earth. It took Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross and the shedding of his blood to defeat and to overthrow the foreign king who had taken those created in God's image captive. Jesus' death, blood, resurrection defeated Satan. He defeated the foreign king who had taken over this colony. Are you listening? So, I'm going to say a few things. I know it's at the end of the sermon and your mind might be just freaking out. Try and listen to the end, please. Jesus had to pay the price for the kingdom to be established on earth. But he did not establish it. Jesus defeated the foreign king who had taken the creation in God's image captive, and Satan had colonized the earth and formed a new kingdom, his kingdom. And everybody were slaves, if you want to talk about slaves, to Satan on the earth in his kingdom. And he used man's authority to do it. Jesus came and defeated him using his blood and the cross. Listen carefully now. In order to overthrow him and to pay the price for the kingdom to be established. Now, God had to send a governor to the earth to establish the kingdom after Jesus defeated the king and was withdrawn. His mission was complete. He was withdrawn back to heaven. And then they sent a governor to set up rule, to teach, to educate, to bring about the customs and the cultures of heaven here on earth, and to give the authority back to man, so then to be taught how to operate in the protocols of the kingdom of heaven. And the governor arrived on the day of Pentecost. The governor is here now representing our monarchy, our heavenly kingdom. He is here to teach us, to develop us, to train us in the protocols and customs of heaven. And my time's up. Hallelujah. I've been burning all week to start this. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, we thank you now that when we refer to Jesus as our King, we won't just think of him as a religious figurehead. When we think of the kingdom of God, we're going to change the way that we think about the kingdom. And we're going to change the way that we understand that we're to operate in the power and the authority of the kingdom. For now the kingdom has come. The kingdom is here. It is being established. Jesus paid the price for whoever will to be born again, to see and to enter your kingdom, and to have access to the power, the wealth, and the glory of the kingdom. And that ultimately one day, We will be God's inheritance, and we will inherit the kingdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take you further next week. I'm going to show you some stuff. I promise you, you'll never, ever, ever have to worry about faith when you minister, because you'll know. I'm biting my tongue to stop talking about next week. To really be careful. Just be shush now. Be shush. All right. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you want me to lay hands upon you to receive the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, or to be healed, I can tell you categorically that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the power of the kingdom is present to heal, to deliver, and to fill you with the Holy Spirit. If you desire, just step forward and I'll minister to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Wave your hand if you want to come so I'll know. Anybody? All right. We have one person. Come on down. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're going to release you, and then we're going to pray for our dear brother Jose. We're going to believe for the kingdom power to be manifested in his life. Transforming power of Jesus' name. Thank you again for praying, for coming out on Wednesday. Thank you for your faithfulness with your tithing and your giving. And thank you for that wonderful testimony today. It was absolutely remarkable, and we are so inspired by that. Amen. Continue to pray for those in authority in our nation. It's a critical time in this nation. I believe with all my heart that is possibly the most important election we will ever see in our lifetime. And the return of Jesus is closer than you can ever imagine. Amen? All right, Lord, we thank you as we go today that every family here walks in divine protection. They walk in divine provision. The provision of the kingdom of God is their portion. Help them, Holy Spirit, during this week, before next Sunday, as they meditate on this sermon and re-listen to it, that the revelation of the kingdom bubbles up within them and their mind is renewed and their heart expands with faith as they begin to understand what God has done and the journey that he's taking us on. Bless every family. Keep them safe, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you. Have a good week.